I'm currently reading a book written by a Navy SEAL. Now, this book is for kind of business tactics and things that you can apply to your life. But he tells a story early on in the book. He served over in Iraq. And he really does a great job of taking you into that role as a Navy SEAL. And they had gotten intel and spent this time finding out who the enemy was, where the enemy was located, what building. And he details all of this intel that they had gotten. And then he talks about all the equipment, the weapons, and different things that each soldier took to go into the battle zone and extract this person. And they had it down to a T. They had really studied it. Well, they go into the town just like they were instructed to do. And as soon as they breach into the room, of course, it doesn't go as they wanted it to go. And the guy, they were going in there for one person, and he slips out the back door. Well, he realizes that this guy's gone, and him and his fellow soldier, just take off running. And they're running through these, it's the middle of the night, they're running through these dark streets, and they finally get the guy and run him down and tackle him and wrap his hands up and detain him because they couldn't kill him. They were supposed to just take him. And he said it hit him. We're alone and we're separate. It was just them. The rest of the soldiers are back there fighting and trying to stay alive. And he said, much to his surprise, down this alleyway, here comes an entire group of enemy forces. And it's just him and his fellow soldier. And he said, one guy's carrying an RPG. One guy's got an automatic, one of those machine guns you can set up and just rain shells down on people. And he said he went to communicate and he couldn't. It was just him and it's just them. They're alone. They were separate from the forces, and there was no way for them to let them know where they are, what they needed, what the situation was. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are without prayer. We're in the same exact place. But why? Why do we let ourselves get in the place where we lose contact with the Almighty? With the one who sees the entire battlefield, with the one that knows all the forces that are needed, that knows all the equipment, that knows the enemy, and knows how to defeat him. And so today, what I want to encourage you to do is Paul has given us a great gift today, and he's going to give us some practical wisdom of how we can pray, how we can communicate, how we can use this hidden weapon that God has given us to fight against the devil. We have the belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the word of God. And today we're going to have prayer, which is going to be necessary to activate and utilize all the spiritual armor that God has given us. If we understand and utilize the hidden power, the hidden weapon, the prayer of God, then we can communicate with God, the great general and only source of power. We can utilize all of our spiritual armor. And lastly, we can win those daily battles that we fight against the enemy. The first truth about prayer we must know deals with frequency. Our first truth is to pray at all times. We see it at the beginning of verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Well, if prayer is the central focus, I think we need to spend just a moment and define, well, what is prayer? What does it mean to pray? I have three different definitions. The first one's very simple. Addressing and petitioning God. I think that's a simple definition of prayer. The next one I'm going to give you is a little more complex. It comes from a couple hundred years ago. This is from the Westminster Catechism. They define prayer as an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And I think that's pretty accurate. It's deep, but it's accurate. But I want to give you in the third definition. So this comes from what we see in the New Testament. When Jesus prays and when we look at the prayers of the writers of the New Testament, here's some things that we see. An expression of sincere desire. It is not to inform God of matters that he might would be ignorant of, because God knows all things. And it is also not affected or made more effective by length or repetitiveness. Jesus spoke out against both of those things. But rather, it's a time of communication that's very discreet and intimate with God. It's communication with God. What is prayer? It's you talking to God. That's what prayer is. And petition, which is the second part of this command, so we're talking about prayer and then petition. Petition is a plea or a request. But being a learner by example, if I can usually see things one time, I can kind of do them. But if you just tell me about them, sometimes I have a hard time. So I want to give you guys an example of a prayer. And I think that there's no greater example of prayer than who? Jesus Christ. The disciples asked him, Lord, how do we pray? And he gave it to them. He told them. So I'm going to read you the Lord's Prayer. This was Jesus' response to the disciples when they asked him how to pray. Matthew 6, 19 through 13. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So it's pointed and it gives God the glory. It says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. It says, God, this is your kingdom. You are the king of the kingdom. And it talks about wanting God's will to be done and not the will of our own, which is something that I struggle with. And I'm sure some of you may do that as well. And it talks about his dominion. It's in heaven. It's on earth. It's everywhere. That's where God is the God of. And then it asks for our daily bread, rations for today. And it asks for forgiveness of our debts. But then there's this also other part. It says, as we have forgiven our debtors. So it puts the ball in our court. Are we forgiven those who have sinned against us as well? Jesus actually commanded to leave your offering. Don't even submit your offering until you go and forgive your brother. Once you forgive him, then come back and then you submit your offering. And do not lead us into temptation. Can I get an amen? I'll take all that that God can give me. But deliver us from evil, so protect us. So now we've defined prayer. I hope that you're on the same page. We're all on the same page. We've looked at an example. Let's look at two of the specific commands that he has that falls up under the praying. One is to pray at all times. Two is to pray in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray at all times? Does that mean every waking hour, even while you're asleep, that you're to be praying? Is that what Paul's writing to us? I don't think that he means that we have to be engaged in active prayer, one run-on sentence after another, every second that we're awake to God, although that would be incredible. Rather, I think it means that we should be able to pray to God at all times. Y'all ever thought about that? Are you in a position mentally and physically to be able to pray to God at every moment during the day? I sat beside Bethany for hours on Friday. We went to the track meet. We sat there for a long time. I didn't talk to her every second of the track meet. I didn't. But because we were sitting beside each other, I could. At any moment, all I had to do was turn my head to the left and bless her with my words, with the wisdom that I had to give her. I didn't talk to her the whole time, but because I was with her, because I was beside her, because I was within an earshot of her, at any moment during the day, I could tell her what I wanted to tell her. So is that the way you are with God? Are you walking with God and being present with God in such a way, both mentally and physically, that at all times during the day, you could just stop what you're doing and have a conversation with the Almighty. Maybe it's a concern. Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you just want to give some thanksgiving, but are you in position to do that at all times? Paul encourages us to be in that position at all times. Let's talk about the second element. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Now here, when I was studying this, there's a lot to look at. There's people that thought this and thought this and thought this. And what is the right answer? Because so many people have different opinions on this, what is in the Spirit. Well, here is the peace that I have. Here's the peace that I come to. And I think what I'm going to share with you right now is faithful to the Bible because it comes from the Bible. In the end, I'm at peace with turning to the fruit of the Spirit when we think about praying in the Spirit. What do I mean by that? Galatians 5, 22 through 23 shares with us the fruit of the Spirit, and it gives us these characteristics. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If I'm angry with no joy, if I am hasty without patience, if I am to ask God to bring destruction instead of goodness to my fellow brethren, then I'm praying amiss. If I look at my prayers and I evaluate what I'm praying to God, and I want you to think about this for just a minute. Think about your most recent prayers. I want you to just really dig deep with me for just a second. And you could look at that prayer. If you wrote it out, could you go back to that prayer and find all of the fruits of the Spirit? Could you find that there was joy in it, peace in it, patience in it, kindness in it? Or would you find that many of those fruits are not present in your prayer? I think we have an opportunity here to use the fruit of the Spirit as a guardrail, if you will, to help narrow in and carve and construct the types of prayers that we're praying. And if we can't pray that prayer and see the fruit of the Spirit in it, then we're not praying in the Spirit. And it's just an opportunity to do that. So pray at all times in the Spirit. Our second truth about prayer, we must know, deals with quality. So we talked about frequency, and let's talk about quality. Pray with alertness and perseverance. Look at the second part of verse 18. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. What does it mean to be alert? This is one of the key words, alert and then perseverance. But what does it mean to be alert? Alert means to take care of it. It means to keep watch. It means to be on guard. This word implies a continuing, wakeful concern. We cannot be an effective watchman or on guard if we're not alert. I don't want somebody who's not alert to be guarding something I care about. Jesus gave us a great opposite example of being alert, so not being alert. And then he also gives us a warning if we're unwilling to be alert. Matthew 5, 25, 1 through 13 says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready alert, went in with him to the wedding feast, but the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. So we should be on alert and awake and expecting because we don't know. Has anyone in here fallen asleep while they're praying? You ain't got to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I just want you to be honest with yourself right now. I have slap went into REM sleep trying to pray. I'm talking about I was dreaming, praying 1 second, dreaming the next. Is that staying alert? Is that an alert prayer that God's just so proud of? Look at my man, Philip, right there. Supposed to be talking to me and fell sound asleep. Must have been real important to him. How does it feel when somebody falls asleep when you're talking to them? When y'all fall asleep when I'm preaching, it doesn't make me feel good. I can only imagine it don't make God feel very good when you're supposed to be having an alert conversation with him, a deep conversation with him, and you go to sleep. If you could right now, so I want you to think about for you, it's going to be different for everybody, but who would you, besides God, so I'm talking about somebody physical in the earth, who would you like to have a conversation with? If I could grant your wish, if I were a genie right now, and I could grant your wish and say, who do you want to talk to more than anybody else in this world? I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make a conversation happen with them. Who would it be? Just in your mind, who would it be? So let's say I make good on my promise and I bring them to you and I say, well, here he is. Here he is. Have your conversation. Are you going to fall asleep during that conversation? No. You're going to be so excited to talk to him, and you got all these things that you're thinking about. Why are we not like that when we talk to God, the Almighty, the ultimate creator, the sovereign one of the entire universe? It's just a little conviction that I had as I thought about that, because I guarantee you, I wouldn't even doze. I wouldn't even blink. I'd just be so excited talking to whoever it was. But that's the way we should be when we talk to God. It shouldn't be a moment where we fall asleep. So how do we combat that? And I think just a quick, just practical thing. If your time during the day where you're supposed to be talking to God is the time of day when you're slap wore out and you don't have anything left, I think it's worth maybe transitioning the time of day when you really want to get with God and talk to him to another time when you're a little more alert. Like my worst time to talk to God or any person on this planet is about 10 o'clock. You don't want to have a conversation with me at 10 p.m. because it's basically incoherent. I start speaking another language and it's just an awful situation. So my time with God, my most steady time, the time I really pour into prayer is the first thing because that's when I'm my best. And I want to give him my best. That's when I'm most alert. So that's when I do it. So if you're having trouble, if you're falling asleep and you're not able to be alert, think about today changing your prayer time with God when you can focus on him and give him your best. Last week, I had somebody write me an email, a new believer. They're a new believer, just come to Christ. And they asked me, how do I become undistracted when I pray? And I thought, man, that is a deep question for somebody who just began believing. But they were already convicted that when they prayed, their mind was over here. And it was, you know, it started out with, Lord, thank you for today. Oh, am I supposed to go pick the kids up? Lord, and if you could, you know, I was thinking that I need a little help with this. Did I leave the stove on? Lord, I'm sorry. You know, would you forgive me for my sins? Did I lock the car doors? Anybody ever pray like that? Your mind just gets distracted. It gets filled with all these things because we're doing things. We're living life. We're busy. We have kids. We have grandkids. We have responsibilities. But is that an excuse? Is it really an excuse? That's just life. That's not going to change. We're always going to have responsibilities. And so Paul calls us to be persevere with all perseverance. So how do we persevere? I think a great illustration, it's hard to, persevere is a lofty word, but let me give you an illustration. Yesterday, we're back at the track again. Madeline had to run one more event, and this was during the 4x400. So you have four kids who each run one lap around the track. And when they come around, they hand the baton to the next one. They take off running, and they go. Well, John Carroll and this other team in the girls 4A, 4x400, were running. And the first ones took off, and, buddy, they were neck and neck all the way around. The second one, they handed the baton, same thing, all the way around. I told Bethany, because she was sitting there, and we were right beside me. Remember, we were talking about the constant communication? I said, hey, this is going to be a good race. I don't know who's going to win this one. So the third one takes off, and sure enough, it's the same thing. They were right there neck and neck. And then they hand it off for the fourth baton. This is it. This is the final lap. This little girl from John Carroll, I'm talking about, she took off running like a German shepherd was released right behind her. I'm talking about she was picking them up. She was on her toes. She was putting them down. She went through turn one flying and just creating a gap. This is what it looked like. She's just pulling away. Turn two, ain't let up yet. She's still just running. She runs across the back stretch, and you just watch this gap going. I looked at Bethany. I said, here's where it is. I said, it all comes down to turn three. I said, any kid can run 200 meters almost without training as hard as they can run. They can run half a lap. I said, turn three is where we'll determine if she's going to win this race or not. She hit turn three and ain't slowed down yet. And I thought, wow, I said, she's got enough lead that if she can just make it through turn four, she's got enough lead to win the race. Buddy, when she came through turn four, she is still on her toes, just picking them up and putting them down. And it wasn't even a race at the end. And what the key to that is perseverance. See, what I was looking at to see if she was going to win the race was turn three. Did she have enough perseverance to make it through turn three to keep her lead and make it to turn four? That's the kind of perseverance that we've got to have in our prayer. You may make it through the first minute doing pretty good. You may make it through the second minute pretty good, turn two. But what about turn three? Are you distracted at turn three? She should have been tired at turn three. But it's not time. That's when we've got to persevere through those distractions so that we can make it across the finish line and win the race and be faithful to God in our prayer life. But are you willing to persevere? Is it a focus of yours? She wanted to win a race. So guess what she did? Persevered across the finish line. Even when you feel like God does not hear you, persevere. Even when you feel like your prayers are not being answered, persevere. Even when you have so much to do, and I put this one in there for me, persevere. Persevere in your prayers. Our third truth about prayer we must know deals with direction. Our third truth is pray for others. Look at verse 19. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul believes in the power of prayer, in case you hadn't picked up on that. 100%. This is his letter to these churches in Ephesus. I don't think he would have asked them to pray if he didn't believe in it, but that's what he says. He's ending this letter, and he's calling to prayer, and he calls them to pray for him. He wants to endure. Specifically, what is he praying for? He wants to endure as a detained prisoner. We know that he is in a Roman prison. He told us in Ephesians 3:1. He told us again in Ephesians 4:1. He tells us again in the sixth chapter. He wants to endure as an ambassador or a representative of Christ. And there's a little bit of a play on words here, because he says, I'm an ambassador in chains. So we know that when he's in this Roman prison. He is actually in chains. Probably his hands, his feet, at least part of his body is in chains, as chained to that Roman soldier who is supposed to be caring for him. But what's awesome is, and this still applies today, when an ambassador or a representative of a country comes to another country, but they're dressed to the nines. They're dressed in, they got their finest chain on. They're looking good. But see, Paul is even in this, he considers that even though he's an ambassador in punishment chains, he's still an ambassador. He's still a representative of Christ, and he focuses on that and not his imprisonment. But he asks for prayer to help him be a faithful ambassador. And lastly, he wants to endure his ministry and calling to boldly proclaim the gospel, not weakly proclaim the gospel. You know, I say this without boasting. I say this with complete humility, but I'm thankful today that I have a lot of people who pray for me. They tell me from time to time. I'll have people randomly come up to me and say, "Hey, man, I'm praying for you." You know what I always say? Thank you and pray more. If y'all don't have nobody else pray for, will you pray for me? If you're just sitting there going, "Man, I don't have nobody to pray for," guess what? You do now. Because like Paul, I want all the prayer you can give me. You know why? Do you know why I want you to pray for me? Not because I'm being selfish. Not because I think I'm special enough for your prayer. Because I know how broken I am. I know how weak that I am. I know how feeble that I am. But I know how the opposite of those things is God. And I want you to petition Him. I want you to pray with alertness and ask Him, "Hey, Philip said that he's weak and he's feeble. Would you strengthen him? Would you give him a little bit of your power this week as he seeks to be faithful to you, as he studies your word and wants to boldly proclaim the gospel?" I'll take all the prayer you can give me because I believe in it and I felt it. I think this, any success, any and all, if you want to look at it as success or however you want, I don't care how you want to term it. Anything good that has happened for the kingdom of God that I've been a part of is a product of somebody praying for me. I can guarantee you what it's not a product of is me. And that's why I want you to pray for me. That's why Paul wanted them to pray for him. And you should want people to pray for you. If you're not praying for others, then you're falling short for two reasons. Falling short. You ready? The first one, you're being disobedient if you're not praying for others. You say, "Well, are you just making that up?" No, look at the end of verse 18. What does it say? 6, at the end of verse 18, pray with all perseverance and petition for what? That prepositional phrase, for all these saints. Paul's already commanded you to pray for who's the saints? Special people? Believers. A saint is a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. So if you're not praying for fellow believers, you're being disobedient to God. The second thing you're falling short on is you're missing opportunities. If you're not praying for others, you're missing opportunities. Let's get real practical. I want you, if you're writing stuff down, I'm going to give you something to take with you. You got a pen? A piece of paper? Y'all got one of those sheets? I mean this. I'm fixing to give you something so practical, and I want you to do it. Y'all ready? Give me some head nods. Some of y'all asleep. I need y'all to be alert for just a minute. Can I have a head nod? Everybody got a cell phone? Who doesn't have one? That's right. Everybody got one. I want you to find the Notes app on your phone. Did you find it? You can write this down, or you can do it practically, because you're fixing to be able to do what I'm telling you to do in 2 seconds, if I can get there. Open the Notes app on your phone. It's going to want a title. I want you to title it Prayer List. All right? And then up under that, it's going to go from a big title to little cursor, and it's going to be sitting there blinking, waiting on you. What that thing is waiting on is you to put the names of people and the reasons that you need to pray for them. And this is something that I want you to look at every day, and I want you to attend to it every single day. I started this when I was back in seminary, but somebody did the same thing to me that I just did to y'all. They made me do that. And I thought, this is so silly for me to do this on my phone. But I'm going to tell you, here I am. 5 years later, I pray for it every day. And my list is about this long now. And so you say, well, what's the big deal? Why should I do that? Well, one, you know who to pray for. When you start your prayer, there's their name. Pray for them and ask God for the thing that they ask you to pray for them about. It's so practical and it's so easy, and you don't have to worry about your memory. See, I'm like Dory, the little fish on Finding Nemo. I don't have a memory, but I have a cell phone, and it doesn't forget. So I have that name, and so every day I can pray for them. But here's a side effect. So there's the biggest effect. You're lifting their name to God. Here's a side effect. Now you're remembering that they needed you, that they thought it was worth telling you about their needs. So you can either call them, you can go visit them, you can make plans to go see them, where otherwise you probably forgot. That was 2 weeks ago and 100 bits of information away. But right now, if you've got this list, there it is. But let me give you another one. Here's another awesome benefit. Do you know what I love to do with this prayer list? Do you know what my favorite part to do is? To hit the backspace button. See, what I do is I go through that list, and then I go, hey, Andrew's prayer was answered. He was able to start his business. God helped him. I don't need to pray that Andrew gets direction on his business because God's already answered that prayer. So I click at the back of his name and I hit delete, 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 delete. And you know what I do when I finish deleting his name? I immediately say, God, I am so thankful that you heard my prayer for Andrew. And I'm so thankful that you answered my prayer for Andrew. And it immediately gives me a testimony. It lets me know that God heard my prayer, that he answered my prayer. But it also leads me to a place that I can be thankful for what God's done. You see all the side effects, all from one little list, one super simple thing that costs you nothing to do on your phone. But I guarantee you, it'll encourage your walk. It'll help your prayer life, and it'll help your ministry to other people if you're willing to do it. And that's about as practical as I can make it. I hope that was helpful for you because it's been very helpful for me. Is anything too small to pray for? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know, and I'm not trying to lead you astray, but I pray for everything. I lost a little something the other day that's very insignificant, that means nothing to nobody, and the first thing I did is I said, God, would you help me find that? I don't think God minded me asking him for his help because I was helpless. I didn't know where it was at. I did find it. I'm not saying you'll always find the things you ask God to find, but I did that time. And I'm confident by telling you this because of Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, because that's where I was when I had lost it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you're not praying for everything, start. Let me give you just a little worldly thing real quick. Meditation and mindfulness gets a lot of play in the news, in social media, and I just wanted to take a minute in case you were wondering, well, but I meditate. Is that the same thing? Or, you know, I'm really mindful, and my mind is filled with the things that are important to me. Let's clarify this just a little bit. If you're engaging in practices of meditation, and by meditation, I don't mean on God. That is in the Bible. Meditating on God is in the Bible, okay? So I'm not speaking against that. But what I'm talking about is a meditation where you're completely emptying yourself of yourself and all your thoughts, or a meditation where you're solely focused on yourself, your needs, your wants, and your desires. That is not biblical, because God wants to be your soul focus, because the Holy Spirit of God wants to fill you with his presence. And God should be, speaking of mindfulness, should be his word, should be what you should be filling your mind full of, and not other things. So just in case you were wondering about if you should engage in those practices, I hope that I have provided a little bit of clarity for you. Now, since we started in Ephesians 1:1, and we've gone verse by verse in through this entire book, we're not going to fumble on the last four verses. So I'm going to read Paul's conclusion. This is Paul's conclusion to his letter. But that you may also know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all, those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love. Not to belabor the point, but there's just a couple of observations. Paul wants to comfort others even in his discomfort. Even in his imprisonment, his heart and his mind is in bringing comfort to the believers. Paul wants the Ephesians to have peace even though his life is filled with turmoil. Paul wants the Ephesians to experience grace, which is not getting the punishment that you deserve, while he is in the middle of getting a punishment that he did not deserve. What is at the core of this is I see a vivid example of selflessness. Seeking to be selfless will help us strengthen our ministry and our prayer lives when we begin to move away from self-aware prayers, prayers about us. Let me get in blunt canon language so I can tell you what I mean. When you get away from praying just for you and you get to praying for other people, that's when you're going in the right direction. Pray for others. As we close today, I want you to imagine yourself on a battlefield. The bullets are flying. The cannons are ringing. The yells, the screams. You've got your armor on. Every piece of it. You're suited up. You've got everything on that you need to be successful. The shield is ready. The sword is sharp. But then you realize something crucial. You don't have no communication with the commander. You don't know if you're supposed to go or stay, turn left or right. Where did the enemy go? How do you defeat him? How would you feel? You're on the battlefront. It's go time. There's people looking for you. There's people that want to harm you, and you don't know what to do. You're paralyzed. This is what happens when we neglect prayer. We may have all the right doctrines. We attend all the right services, even serve in all the right ministries. But without consistent, Spirit-led prayer, we're like soldiers who are cut off from the command. Don't be a soldier cut off from the command. Jeffrey, you and the team can come up. Paul didn't conclude with his letter to the Ephesians with a complex strategy. He ended them with a call to prayer. Constant, watchful, persevering prayer. I venture to say this. The devil does not want you to pray. You know why? Because prayer is where the battle's won. You see, you've got all the armor, but you ain't got no power to use it. God gives you the power. God gives you the direction. God wins the battle. So why in the world are we not continuously every day asking him to help us fight and help us to win the battle? You see why, that would be an effective tool of the devil to distract you and to keep you from praying? Because we're weak. Weak as water, as they say, without it.